Now, Jonathan Mackey has been with us 132 times. Amen. Back in 88, when we first started pastoring, he was the first evangelist that came. And every time, he has blessed us. Every time. Glory to God. Last Sunday morning, I was using a lot of scripture, and it just came to mind. I'm starting to preach like Brother Mackey, you know? Glory to God, because he fortifies everything with the word of God. Amen. So we'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church, and if you would stand for the man of God and the reading of his word, amen. Would you welcome Brother Mackey right now?
Sure is good to be in God's house tonight. Good to be in a church that believes in repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Church that believes in receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. I never get tired of saying that. Don't ever get tired of hearing that. It's good to be in a church tonight that opens up the altar after every service. Amen. And I also welcome guests and visitors here tonight. And I pray that the word of the Lord will be meaningful to you and easy to understand. And again, at the close of the service, this altar area will be open. We encourage every man, every woman, every young person, just come to an altar and let God speak to your heart. And let him bless you tonight. And I'm just privileged to be a part of and be able to visit First Apostolic Church, Apostolic Faith Church. And again, I commend you for having Sunday night service. Every time you're here on a Sunday night, I'm going to tell you that, because more and more churches do not have Sunday night service. And but you're really being spiritually correct tonight. You really are. And I appreciate the leadership of this church, Brother and Sister Schumacher. Amen, I really do. And this is my 46th year as an evangelist, and some men I used to preach for don't even believe this message of truth anymore. But do you know what? The word of God is forever settled in heaven. You know. I mean, just because we want it to change, it doesn't change. And but that's what I like about truth. It's always truth. So if I tell you something differently tonight than I told you in 1988, then either I lied to you in 1988 or I'm lying to you tonight. But truth is always truth. So let's open our Bible, shall we, to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Everyone in this building tonight understands this. God is very polite. He will never crash in the door to get into your life and heart. He's very polite. He's not rude. But when you sit out there and you feel things you never felt before, and there's even some tears welling in your eyes, and something's in your spirit is saying, I want more of this, and you feel the desire to come to an altar, that's God knocking. It's God knocking. And it says, if any man would hear his voice and open the door. Now, knocking is God's part. Opening the door is your part. You can barricade your heart, barricade your life. Just say, I don't want this. But the best thing you can ever do is open the door. Open the door. Amen. And when you open the door, he's going to, folks, I tell you, he's going to come in and sup with you. And you're going to sup with him. But the Bible says, if any man, any man. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, again, we thank you for your wonderful presence and your spirit. And God, for what you desire to do in the hearts and lives of people. Jesus, you know the spiritual condition of everyone in this house. And Lord, you know any other situations, God, and circumstances. But God, you are the answer. And God, I ask you to help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm so glad that verse 20 says, any man. Because maybe when God says this, everyone can fit into this category. Amen. The rich man, the poor man, the garbage man, the businessman, the educated man, the uneducated man, the garbage man, the postman, the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the brown man, any man. Any man. Now, it is a Bible fact and truth that out of all the nations of the world, God chose Israel. Every other nation was idolatrous. But here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord. And the Jew is really special to God. I want to read you a scripture out of 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. It says this, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. It says, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods, for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. But Israel failed God miserably. God told them not to build altars to false gods. They did. He told them not to intermarry with the heathen. They did. They would always run away from God. God would send judgment. They would come back to God. In fact, the Bible says God hates divorce, but he gave Israel a bill of divorcement. He did. Now let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 11 in our Bibles. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is talking to Gentiles, of course, in Rome. And he's talking about what the Jew was and what the Jew means to God. But in Romans chapter 11 and verse 11, when Paul is talking about the fact that God is now turning to the Gentile, he says in verse 11, I say then, have they, referring to the Jew, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Then in verse 15, Paul writes, for if the casting away of them, the Jew, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And then it says in verse 19, thou wilt say then, that's you and me, the Gentiles, thou wilt say then, the branches, the Jews, were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is any man's church. That's why it says in Romans 10:12, the page before the one you are open to, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not so much any man's church. Now, I wonder if a preacher would ever preach something before he believes it. I would rather believe it before I preach it. But let's look at Acts chapter 2 in our Bibles, Acts chapter 2, and Peter's preaching. You know, this preacher on the day of Pentecost. So it's the Holy Ghost has been poured out. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter is preaching, and he said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He preached this, but he did not really believe it. I'll show you in the book of Acts chapter 10, if we can turn there now. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." So here's a good Italian right here. Maybe we've got some good Italians here tonight. I don't know. "But he was devout, feared God. His house feared God, gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. An angel even appeared unto Cornelius." And so when Cornelius said, "What should we do?" the angel told him to send for Peter, the one that we just talked about, who preached on the day of Pentecost, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. On verse 9, so Cornelius sends men to visit Peter. On verse 9, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour," which is about noontime, "and he became very hungry." That's why apostolics are always hungry after church. You know, we're just hungry. All right? "And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter was upset." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Because the Jews had strict religious eating habits. It was not the Atkins diet or the keto diet, folks. I mean, it was part of their religion. They could not eat, they could only eat meat if it had a split hoof. They could only eat fish that had scales, you know. And that's why they don't eat shrimp or lobster, you know. And that's why they don't eat pork. My wife was Seventh-day Adventist when I met her. I mean, she never had a good bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich till she married me. Really. But folks, it was part of their religion. So now God's telling him, "Hey, Peter, arise, kill, and eat." And actually, one translation, Peter says it so vehemently, "I have never eaten and never will eat anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. Boy, it takes a while for God to get our attention sometimes, right? I mean, here's Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. You know, if God had to talk to him three times, don't feel like you're a substandard spiritually, because God has to talk to you a few times, all right? Okay. Verse 17, "Now while Peter doubted in himself, what does this vision mean?" All right. He's thinking about this, there's Gentiles knocking on his door. So he answers the door, and they're telling him how the angel of the Lord told us to come and see you. But look what Peter says in verse 28. "And he said unto them, 'Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come to one of another nation.'" No wonder the Jews never evangelized the world, all right? "'But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" God has shown me that. Verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" I'm glad about that. One translation says, God is not one to show partiality. Another says, God does not show favoritism. Another says, I see very clearly that the Jews are not God's favorites. Now, it would be uncomfortable if you had brothers and sisters. My mom and dad have 7 children, 4 boys and 3 girls. It would be uncomfortable if they had a favorite. But if you were the favorite, yeah, that would be a good thing. But I'm here to tell you, God has no favorites. God is not partial. God is no respecter of persons. Let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 21 in the Old Testament. Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 5. It says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They didn't even like the manna God sent them anymore. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. Because you know what? To me, the theme of this whole Bible is salvation. God does not want people to die. He wants people to live. He really does. So come on, look at this serpent of brass and you're going to live. Now, the Jews were so well known to carry all these miracles and all these stories and all these wonderful things from generation to generation to generation. Now, this is the book of Numbers. Now let's jump ahead to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And of course, this is the famous conversation between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus, all right, who came to Jesus by night. All right, and Jesus, first of all, tells Nicodemus, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Let's all say again. Amen. If you've only been born once, it's not enough. Right. All right. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? So Jesus said, except a man be born of water. That's why this church emphasizes water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. You must be born again of water. And of the Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be born again of the Spirit. And then we come down to verse 14. And Jesus reminds Nicodemus of what happened in the book of Numbers chapter 21. He said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is talking about the crucifixion. Verse 16, the most memorized, the most quoted, the most loved verse of scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world, not just the Jew, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. So as a result, because of the crucifixion, because of the shed blood, we know, folks, that because it's for the whole world. And the Bible emphasizes this so many times. It says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right? It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men. Now, when God manifested in the flesh, again, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said the end of the world would not come until this gospel was delivered unto all nations. Over and over and over again, we understand that this is any man's church. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. Matthew 22 and verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They're not very smart. Amen. They think they're going to really entangle Jesus. All right, but anyway. Verse 16, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man. Now, they were not saying, Lord, you don't care for any man. But literally, they were saying, that you are not impartial or do not regard any man above another man. For thou regardest not the person of men. And one translation says it this way. You are not swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Another says you do not regard the position of men. Now, I've been in many church services as an evangelist, and visitors come in, and it's always disturbed me if, Dr. Jones is here tonight. You got to recognize those doctors, and But folks, the little visitor that you don't even know what his name is, and he can barely fill out a visitor's card, he's just as important as Dr. Jones. So God is not swayed with who you are. Do you think God's impressed with name brand clothes? God's not impressed if you have a $68,000 Lexus or Escalade or whatever, or if you have a $500 junk bucket with coat hangers holding on the muffler. God doesn't care. That's why it's so wrong when someone comes to an altar and they said, well, God, you're lucky. Here I am. Yep. You're in for a treat now. Folks, listen, he's not impressed with who we are, but we need to be impressed with who he is. All right? But the fact that this is addressed in the New Testament, folks, the church had a problem with this. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 1. James chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Don't have a respect of persons. In fact, one translation says, don't be a spiritual snob. Aren't you thankful that God took you out of the horrible pit of the miry clay? Most of us live better, drive better, dress better, eat better than ever because of the blessings of God. But I get concerned if apostolics walk around with their nose a little bit higher in the air. We are the people of the name, And boy, we are really it. Listen, everybody. And we look at the wino sleeping on the bench or the prostitute on the street corner. And we said, oh, those poor, pathetic people. But I want you to know that is you and me, except for the mercy and the grace. Hallelujah, in the saving power of Jesus Christ. So where God has brought us should not... could give us a spirit of pride. It should humble us. It should. Because it says in verse 2, for if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Now, I have been to India 4 different times, and the caste system is a part of their culture. It's been there for centuries, centuries, centuries. All right? And the lowest caste is the untouchables. They call them the untouchables because no one wants to touch them. They do all the menial jobs, the dirty jobs. They sweep the streets. They clean the restrooms. Folks, they do any filthy job at all, the untouchable does it. All right. And when I was there during the monsoon season, I mean, there would be a rain that would come, and in just a matter of minutes, there are 8 inches of water in the street. overflowing, you know, under the sidewalk. And it was during one of these monsoons that people from the low caste, the untouchables, to get out of the rain, took shelter under the canopy of a temple of a higher caste. And when the people of the higher caste saw them, folks, they stoned them to death. They killed 8 people just because they wanted to get out of the rain. And I was reading this in the newspaper on a flight that I was flying from one city in India to another. And this Indian man sitting next to me, he said, you know, I mean, he saw the same article. And he said, you're from America? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, this is one of the reasons people think badly of India. But folks, 8 people died because the caste system is so strong. When I was in Madras, India, they had a church, folks, and the church was pretty good size, but it was jammed from front pew to back pew. In fact, when we studied about India before we went to even visit there for 4 weeks, one book said that Madras is the armpit of India. It's just poor, and there's nothing there. So the church was jammed, but about halfway through my preaching, a family walked in, and obviously, they were some of the best-dressed people I'd seen in India at the time I had been there, but there was no place for them to sit. So what they did, so the usher came down, and people in the third row, they made them stand up and stand in the back, and they gave the well-dressed people a place to sit. And that's why the Bible says this should not be, because it says in verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit what? Boy, we like to talk about the adultery and the fornication, you know, and the lying and the stealing. But I'll tell you what, folks, if we ever have respect to persons and we think one person is better than another one, we commit sin in the eyes of God. That is why Jesus said, you know, salvation is a gift of God. All right. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if we were saved by how much money we gave to the poor and clothes to the naked, you know, and food to the hungry, you know, this man would say, boy, I gave $600. Huh, that's nothing. I gave $1,200. Yeah, well, I gave $50,000, you know. Folks, it's not what we have done. It's what he has done. All right? That's why Jesus said in Mark, if any man have ears to hear, to listen, yeah, let him hear. Now let's look at what Jesus said. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. All right, in verse 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead, but this is the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. That is why when people come into this house and they hear this precious word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If any man would take this bread and eat it and digest it and do it, he's going to live forever. I don't care who the man is, rich or poor, black or white, because God is no respecter of persons. Now in John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine or my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. All right? Pastor Schumacher can say that. Every guest minister in this pulpit can say that. What we give you is not ours. It's God's. That's why it says in verse 17, if any man will do his will, if any man would obey this doctrine, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That is why, listen, everybody, don't knock baptism in Jesus' name till you try it. Don't mock speaking in other tongues. Just do it and you'll see. Folks, speaking in tongues isn't my idea, it's God's idea. Being buried in water, Brother Schumacher didn't think that up. God thought that up. Folks, this doctrine is not mine, but it's God. And if any man will do it, amen, he's going to know that it really is truth.
Boy, I was just with the pastor, and this young couple came to this pastor, and this couple is living together, and I don't know why they chose the Apostolic Church, but it's good they did. They said, we're living together, but we just think it's right to get married. Amen. And the pastor said, well, you're right. But he says, but before I marry you, we just have to have some marriage counseling sessions. So they were coming, into the pastor's office. And obviously this couple, they were kind of down and out a little bit, and obviously having to struggle financially and materialistically and so forth, but on the third visit, this couple was, they were impressed with this pastor, and they said, we really appreciate what you're telling us. The pastor said, would you like to see our church and sanctuary? So he was giving them a tour of the church and brought them up to the platform and showed them the baptistry with water in it. And the pastor looked at this man and woman, looked at the man, he said, maybe sometime in the future, he said, I can baptize you in this baptistry in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you come up out of the water, all your sins will be forgiven. And the man started to cry. He said, how much does this cost? I don't have any money. I mean, tell me how much it costs so I can save for this. Amen. The pastor was so glad he could tell him, you don't buy this, you don't merit it, you don't earn it. It is the gift of God. Do you understand what we're saying? Hallelujah. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Jesus again said, if you have ears to listen, hear this. All right. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's why David said, out there is a dry and thirsty world, and there's no water there that's going to satisfy you. That's why Jesus looked at the woman at the well and says, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But I'm going to give you water that you will never thirst. And a man dying of thirst does such strange, bold things. He will go to an old, dirty, filthy pool of water, push away the scum and the water beetles, and stick his hand in there and drink it. Because thirst is such a strong desire. Those coal miners in West Virginia that were trapped for almost 30 days, folks, they drank their own urine so they wouldn't die of thirst. That is where the world goes to those old, they go to the old stinky, polluted pools of sin, of drugs and licentiousness and pornography and alcohol. And they think that's what's going to satisfy them. And they get high, on the drugs. And then when they're not stoned anymore, folks, everything hits them again in their life. Folks, when the hangover is over, the problems are still there. And when it gets so bad, folks, they put a gun to their head and pull the trigger. Even the sports stars, folks, and the rock stars, with all the money, all the fame, all the endorsements, it's not enough. They still need the drugs. They still need to rap. They still need to rape a woman every now and again. But do you understand, folks? Nothing out there will ever satisfy you. But you're in the right place tonight. The Holy Ghost is here. And if you're thirsty, you've come to the right place. If any man thirst, any man. John chapter 10 and verse 9. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yep. Yeah, when my wife was alive, I was her doctor insisted we have a handicapped license plate on our van at the end. And so I would, Sister Mackie just like to go to Hobby Lobby. I'm not a Hobby Lobbyist myself, But they play nice Christian music in there, I guess, And she liked Walmart, So I'd just drop her off, and then I would just park, and I always brought my Bible or one of my books or a newspaper, and I would just sit there and read. But
finally, I just stopped and started watching people. Everyone that came to the door at Walmart, the door opened. You know, a very well-dressed woman came to the door, and it opened. A bag lady came, and her little grocery cart was all filled with cans and everything. She left it outside, and she walked in, and the door opened. An Oriental went in there, and the door opened. A black man went in there, and the door opened. A tall man went in, the door opened. A short man, the door opened. A bald man, the door opened. A hairy man, the door opened. Every kind of individual you can imagine went to Walmart. Because know what Walmart is saying? We want you to come in here. We want you to spend some money too. All right. But know what Jesus said? I am the door. I don't care who you are. We want you to come in here. Amen. And got the best thing that ever happened to you right here. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. Any man. God is no respecter of persons. None. Now, I've been privileged to travel in 70 countries of the world, in every state but New Mexico. And, you know, there isn't one country I've been in where people did not receive the Holy Ghost or repent or get baptized. Do you know why? Because God is no respecter of persons or cultures. He's not. Now, and that happens every time someone is saved in this church. You know, they don't earn it or deserve it. But God so loved the world. God so loved the world. I remember when I went to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, you know, the Buddhists that would come to service, they would go to their own Buddhist priest before they came to the Apostolic Church. And I mean, the priest was burning incense. He would blow incense on them. He would shake a little rattle over their head, you know, and they would come with these big three bright bands of felt around their wrist, you know. And when we asked them, what's the purpose of wearing that felt around your wrist? And the literal translation is, so nothing jumps on us when we come to this place, you know. But I have slides of Buddhists with their hands raised, orange felt, speaking with other tongues. I don't care if you're Buddhist, Muslim, atheist. This is any man's church if you would do his will. Hallelujah. If you would do his will. Yeah. Well, I remember when after 4 weeks in India, we were 4 weeks in Pakistan. And they had a huge tent called the Shamiana in Lahore, Pakistan. And the missionary said, no, Brother Mackey, you know, this is under the authority of the national pastor. And so I have nothing to say or nothing to do with this. I said, okay. And so he said, this man has advertised this as a healing meeting. Because even Muslims know Muhammad cannot heal, but Jesus can. All right. So you can preach Jesus all you want. Just don't talk down against Muhammad. Or you'll have a knife in your back when you leave the tent, okay, really. So divine healing. And boy, these people flocked to the altar. And I saw God do so many wondrous things. But I was there for 3 nights. So the first night, yes, healing. The second night, healing. And the next day, I was under, you know, I was just, God was just speaking to me. So the third night, I preached. In fact, I've never preached on this message again, not even in the States. I preached on Jesus, because they recognize him as a good teacher. Jesus said, it is better to go to heaven maimed than go to hell whole. And boy, I really prayed for my translator that he would say it correctly, you know, really. I mean, I was walking eggshells, and I said, it is better you are never healed, but you are filled with the Holy Ghost, than just be healed and never feel the love of God and be filled with the Spirit of God. So when I finished preaching, I said, I'm going to open up this altar tonight for people that really want to go to heaven and really want the Spirit of God in their life. And I mean, people just flock to the altar. And I'm holding the mic, and the national pastor comes and takes the mic from my hand.
He said, all right, folks. He said, 4 blocks away, we have our church building. Anyone that wants the Holy Ghost, you leave the tent and go down to the church. You know, and Brother Mackey's going to stay here and pray for the sick. And now, folks, it's dark. There's no street lights. I mean, it is so dark. And I could just see all these people leaving the tent and saying, well, I'm just going to go home, you know. And I don't know how they meant, you know, but there was a man at the door that was giving them some directions. So that took a while, about 10 minutes for them to all stream out. And they said, all right, everyone that wants to be prayed for, come on, you know. And I admit, I did pray in Jesus' name, but I prayed as fast as I could. I mean, and I did it sincerely because I wanted to go down to the church, you know. And when I got down to that church, I mean, you could not, I mean, in between every pew, in every classroom, folks on the platform, no matter where there was room to stand, it was jammed with people, hands raised, speaking with other tongues. And that night, we baptized 75 Muslims in the swimming pool at the Holiday Inn. Hallelujah. Because it really, and God let me know again, this is any man's church. Any man's church. Yeah. I've seen people come to the altar smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Well, God still wants to save you. But I'm an alcoholic, but God wants to save you. I'm on my 3rd husband. God still wants to save you. You're on your 4th wife. God still wants to save you. And give you marriage counseling too, you know. All right. Yeah. Divorce should stop at this altar. Abortion should stop at this altar. Do you understand? Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. Terry Warner. Well, he used to blow cigar smoke in my brother's face and say, come on, Mackie, speak in tongues for me. Drink 1/4 and 1/3 of bourbon every day. Put bourbon on his Cheerios for breakfast. He used to just mock my brother, but he came to one service. And he comes to the altar, folks, and for over an hour, his fists are just clenched, and he's repenting. You know, we're in a hurry to get him in the water sometimes, but there really must be repentance. And you really should be dead before you are buried. And he got up from that altar, and even before he was baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, he went home and threw all of his cigars in the garbage can and poured all of his bourbon down the sink. When he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the lifestyle is. That's why I encourage everyone in this church. I don't know whether you won a soul in 2019, but in 2020, don't look at someone and say, boy, there's no hope for that man. There's no hope for... No, you got to say, yeah, there is, because this is any man's church. God wants to save people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why Jesus gave the story about the supper. He said he invited people, but they all made excuse. Jesus said, go out and get the poor, the halt, the maimed, and the blind, because it makes no difference how much gold you have, how educated you are. Without Jesus, you are wretched, you are blind, you are naked, and you are poor. Hallelujah. And you need Jesus more than you need anything. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Folks, the greatest witness we have that this is any man's church is that you're in it. Come on, you. Come on, you. But boy, if God can save me, you should say God can save anybody. Amen. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's stand and clap our hands for salvation, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus. I love being an evangelist and opening up the altar. And I can say, any man can come to this altar. Any man can come to this altar. You know, I love saying that because Jesus is saying that. You know, sin never takes a man up. It always takes a man down. And Jesus never takes a man down. He always brings the man up. You're in the right place, everybody. If you're here tonight, you've never repented, come on to this altar. If you've never been baptized, come to this altar. Listen, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, are you thirsty, come to this altar. I don't care what sin is in your life, what disobedience. Amen. Every guest and visitor, you are welcome to come to this altar. Hallelujah. Because God is no respecter of persons. God is not partial. And nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad you're at this altar tonight. Here I am.